I'm coming.
Who's in line?
We gather in the Lord's house on this Lenten Sunday morning. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship the Savior this day.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this Lenten Sunday morning. I hope you have come this day to encounter the risen Lord. If you are a first-time visitor with us here at First Baptist Elon, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship this day. I encourage you to take a moment during our worship service this morning to fill out a visitor's card that's located in the pew in front of you. You can drop that off in the offering plates as you leave following the worship service this day. For those that are watching us this morning online on Facebook Live, thank you for joining us for worship this morning online. You can also go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin, use that as a resource for our worship service today and for ministries coming up in the life of our church. I also encourage you, if you're a first-time watcher online, send me an email this week. Let me follow up this week and share what First Baptist Elon is all about. We are excited about things coming up in the life of our church. We are still in the season of Lent, that time as we as Christians are called to reflect on our walk with the Lord, draw closer to Him as we prepare for Holy Week. Holy Week takes place next Sunday, beginning with Palm Sunday. You will notice in your bulletin this morning the schedule for our Holy Week here at First Baptist Elon. We have opportunities of worship throughout next week, starting with Palm Sunday, leading all the way to Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday morning. Many of the services will be here at First Baptist. Some of those will be in our community for our community-wide worship services. Take note of those in your bulletin today, and I will talk more about them next Sunday morning. Reminder, this afternoon, we continue our Lenten Bible study that we've been doing. Today will be one of our next-to-last sessions that in the way, led by Adam Hamilton. Today, actually, Phil Thompson will be leading our session today at 4 o'clock. In this session, we'll be looking at Jesus' ministry to the sinners, the outcasts, and the poor. And in this session, as we look at the video that we've been doing each week, Hamilton's been taking us to the Holy Land, and he'll be taking us to the land of Samaria today. So if you have a chance, come at 4 o'clock for that study upstairs in the fellowship hall. You can also watch that study online on Facebook Live as well. So please, I encourage you to come out for the study this afternoon at 4 o'clock. You'll also notice in your bulletin today the choir rehearsals for this week. Bell practice will be on Tuesday night at 5:30. The worship choir will be practicing at Wednesday night at 6:30. Be in prayer for both of these choirs. They are eagerly preparing for Palm Sunday worship and Easter Sunday worship. They've been working hard over the last couple weeks and months to prepare for those times of celebration. So be in prayer for these practice times for both of those choirs. You'll also notice on Thursday, a full day of ministry here at First Baptist, but not literally here, but full day for First Baptist Elon, beginning with a fun and fellowship trip to Raleigh to the Joel Lane Museum. We know we've got many people's names on those lists, those sign-up sheets for that trip, but Gay wanted me to remind you, if you are planning to go on that trip, you need to have your name on those sign-up sheets today. So please, if you are planning to go on that trip on Thursday, make sure you sign up on one of those sign-up sheets. One of those is out in the foyer as you leave this morning. Just make sure you write your name down. Want to make sure we have enough seats on the bus for that trip. Also on Thursday, we have our Thursday book chat. That'll be at 11 o'clock at Barnes & Noble if you want to participate in that ministry opportunity. I do want to thank you again for the missions gathering that we did last month for the blessing bags. They got put together this week. Abundant Life, led by some of our church members today, helped put those blessing bags together this week. You will notice in the foyer as you leave this morning, there is a box on one of the tables. You are encouraged to pick one of those bags up, carry it around with you, have it in your car, have it at home. Maybe as you travel out in our community in the coming days and weeks, maybe you might see someone who might be in need. You may be someone just sitting on the corner asking for money or asking for, it could be anything. I encourage you to use these bags as an opportunity to reach out to them. Some of our church members will be going to the homeless shelter on a regular basis to help prepare meals. These blessing bags will also go to the homeless shelter as well. These are what these bags are for. Now, you'll notice that box is pretty small out there, and you might go out there and the box is empty. We have more blessing bags. They're in a location. Just let myself or Gay know. We will make sure that box gets refilled. But as you leave today, I encourage you to pick up one of those bags and take it home with you as well. Again, you said, I told you about the Holy Week schedule. Make sure you make note of those. Our March missions collection going on. We're continuing to collect items for our Golden Year Senior Center, bingo, and birthday ministries that we go every other week. Please collect some of those items as you go to the grocery store or as you travel out shopping over the coming weeks and drop some of those items off needed in the boxes located around the church. Last but not least, during the month of February, we collected our Share the Love offering for our international missionaries. And I want to thank you for, again, your generosity during that time of collection. But little did we realize that when we were collecting that offering, that some of our international missionaries were actually going to be in country for this Sunday specifically. And so we are excited to welcome back to us our IMB missionaries, Kevin and Susie Rogers, who are in town for just a couple more days from Africa. So I'm going to invite Kevin and Susie up here. We were planning to send their portion of that offering to them, but little did we realize that they were going to be here, so I'm going to hand deliver our love offering to them. And we just want to say on behalf of First Baptist Elon, thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your continued love for Christ and your continued sharing love of Christ. And this is just a small portion of our love for y'all and your support for you. But also, while they're up here, I always want to give our missionaries an opportunity to share what's going on in the life of their ministry. And we know, as many of you know, that they're coming to a transition point in their ministry. So I'm going to turn the pulpit over to you for as long as you want, Kevin. If you want to preach a sermon, I can just sit down for the rest of the day. And we can. But I do want them to get an opportunity to share about what is coming up in their lives in the coming days, weeks, and months. So,
well, I just want to thank all of you so much for this love offering. It really does mean a lot to us. You know, when I think back of just the impact that this church has had on my life, you're all very special. I was saved in this church, was baptized up there. Kevin and I were married right up here. And then even after we've left and after we've been serving in Africa for 27 years, you continue to pray for us and support us. And you love our parents and our whole family. We just thank you for all of that. So I'm emotional. I'll let Kevin tell you what we're going to be doing.
Well, you took all my words. Thank you for that. Elon has had a very special place in our life for, like she said, for 27 years. And y'all have stood with us through so many things, your prayers and your love and even giving and all the things that you do. We're so grateful for that and for each of you and for the ministry of this church and just for the impact that you've had in our lives and I think through our lives to a degree. As we've served in Africa for 27 years and it's hard to believe that's coming to an end. We knew that we wouldn't be there forever, and we felt like the Lord would at some point call us to leave there. We always thought, though, that if we ever left Africa, we'd be coming home. And we're kind of have mixed feelings to say that we're a little bit sad that we're not coming home to North Carolina. We are being sent to another foreign country, to another foreign mission field that seems like it's a million miles away. On the backside of the desert, in a place called Texas. I don't know if you've heard of that. And it is only one time zone away, but for us, we've been there once. It feels like it's further away than Africa, if I'm being honest. We honestly went through a long process about a year ago. It's been a year ago that we made this decision. Went through a long process of kicking and screaming and saying, we are not leaving Africa. Before God made it very, very clear that he wanted us to move to Fort Worth. I'm going to be on the faculty of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. I'm over the Intercultural Studies Department, the Missions Department for Texas Baptist College. I'm already teaching online part-time for them now, and I've got these little 19-year-old girls in my class, and I'm wondering, what in the world is this old man doing? We were young at one time, and I'm just often reminded of how old I am, but somehow they're just being sweet and listening to everything I have to say and making me feel like I'm making a difference in their lives. But we feel like God has called us back here to the U.S. to train the next generation of missionaries to go to the ends of the earth. And my biggest prayer for them is that they would have churches as sweet as First Baptist Elon to send them, to pray for them, to love them, and to faithfully be behind them as they go to the world the way we went to the world 27 years ago. And we just want you to keep doing what you're doing. You just keep doing what you're doing, and know that God is using you, and we love you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, and you probably want to know that we come back in June. He'll be here for a month, and then we actually move to Texas in July. Yeah.
Before y'all step back down, I know y'all have been in prayer for this for over a year now. Well, can we pray for y'all right now? Let's pray. Father, we just pray for Kevin and Susie. We know of the wonderful ministry that they have had in Africa for 20-plus years. We know sometimes transition can be a scary thing, but you have guided them in this decision. I pray for their safe travels back to Africa in a little over a week. I pray for continued ministry that will take place in Africa and over the next couple of months and will continue for many, many, many years to come. The legwork and the footwork that they have done and the good place that they're leaving their ministry in there. And Father, we know that you open a new mission field at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. I pray for Kevin's ministry. I pray for Susie's ministry in Texas. I pray for this new field of ministry. And we know that you are going to bless them. And for everything that they will do, we know that they will give you all the glory. And we give you all the glory this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Continue to lift them up in prayer. You can become continued partners with them online. I encourage you to do so, but it is good to have them with us today in worship, and that's why we're here to worship today. We're here to give God the glory, to give our Savior, lift up praise to Him in songs of joy this morning. Let's worship today.
Our first hymn this morning is a joyful hymn. Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee. Let's sing with joy.
Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee, Lord of glory, Lord of all.
Our psalm reading comes from Psalm 119, reading verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I've hidden your word in my heart. What a powerful statement in Scripture. What a powerful statement I hope we can all proclaim this day. Let us pray this morning. Gracious and ever-living God, you have given your promise for us to treasure in our hearts, and your justice for us to declare with our very lips. You have given your commandments as a sure path for us, and your decrees for our richest delight. You have given your covenants so that we may have life in its fullness and the urgings of your Spirit for our attentive listening to your word. Eternal God, whose creative word brought life out of darkness, we praise you this day. Suffering God, whose incarnate word lived and died among us to show us your love, we adore you. Gracious and ever-living God, whose living word breathed your Holy Spirit on the church, we worship you with all we have this day and every day. And all God's people said, Amen.
Let's stand and sing this Sanctuary and God is So Good.
Thanksgiving, I'll be a
This morning, our Old Testament reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 31, reading verses 31 through 34. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. That's where the beginning of faith starts. It starts in our heart. Remember that today. Remember that not just in the season of Lent, but remember that as we move forward, as we draw closer to Him.
Y'all are probably thinking, well, how many songs are we going to sing today? We've already sang three and getting ready to sing two more. Let's stand, let's worship together. Worthy, you are worthy, and you're my all in all.
Thank you. Will you pray with me, please? Dear God, we humbly come before you today with grateful hearts for the love that you have for us, a love that is so deep and so wide that the human brain and heart cannot comprehend its magnitude, a love that offers forgiveness of our sins and freedom in Christ to live in faith. As we observe this season of Lent, may we discover a true inner change of heart as we seek to follow Christ's will more faithfully. As we place this offering before you, help us surrender completely to your love, and may we always answer Jesus' call to reach beyond ourselves and share your abundance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The pain written on your face.
Thank you, choir, for beautiful special music today. As we prepare to once again encounter God's word this morning, may we once again, during this season of Lent, spend some time in quiet reflection and meditation and draw closer to Christ. During this time of silent prayer and confession, I encourage you to pray the prayers that you've been needing to pray all week and just haven't had time to do it. Spend these quiet moments right now with God, lifting prayers to Him in silence, just in this quiet time. Let's pray. Father, how oftentimes we struggle to find moments of peace and quiet during the busyness of the week. Thank you for giving us this time, but more importantly, thank you for hearing our prayers this Sunday morning. May we continue to seek you in our daily walks towards Holy Week. May we continue to seek you during this season of Lent. And especially this morning, may the prayer of St. Patrick be our daily focus and guide. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ where I lie, Christ where I sit, Christ where I arise, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks to me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Christ. May your salvation, Lord, be ever with us. Amen. Again, thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon. If you did not know, it is St. Patrick's Day. Thus the use of St. Patrick this morning and in honor of this day. We are continue to be in the season of Lent. We are drawing closer to Holy Week. We're drawing closer to the week of celebration that begins with Palm Sunday and that concludes on Resurrection Sunday, which concludes Holy Week, but the resurrection is an everyday celebration. And as we draw closer to Holy Week, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the Last Supper, with the disciples on Maundy Thursday, the celebration, the remembrance of Jesus' crucifixion on Good Friday, and the ultimate victory and celebration of the empty tomb on Resurrection Sunday, may we continue to draw closer to Him in our daily faith walks. This morning I'll be concluding our Lenten sermon series that I began some weeks ago titled Seekers. Each Sunday during Lent, we have been reflecting on stories of individuals in the Gospels who sought out, who went seeking Jesus, all for specific reasons. Individuals still seek out Jesus for these same reasons today. In week one, we looked at the story of Nicodemus, who sought out Jesus for truth. In our second week, we examine the story of the rich man who sought out Jesus for direction. In week three, we read the story of the bleeding woman who sought out Jesus for help. Then, last week, we investigated the story of the feuding brother who sought out Jesus for self-justification. This morning, we conclude our sermon series by looking at two individuals in the same story, but only one was seeking Jesus for the right reason. This morning, we look at the story of Simon and the woman seeking forgiveness and freedom. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. The words will be displayed on the worship screens behind me. You can also turn in your Bibles located in the pews in front of you, or some of the pew Bibles are below you as well. And as you turn to this passage, this morning we hear a story of two individuals. And in so many ways, these two individuals are complete opposites. One is a woman, the other is a man. The woman is of low degree, while the man is held by society in high esteem. We know the man's name in this story, a man by the name of Simon, but the woman in this passage remains nameless. We know that this man, Simon, is a Pharisee, but all we know about the woman without a name is that she is a sinner. Simon is, in this story, the godly figure by society standards. The woman's sin removes her far from God. Two opposites, but in Jesus' eyes, we see something transforming. Reading Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50 this morning. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "Well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Simon invites Jesus to join him for dinner at his house. We don't know the reason for the invitation. I'm sure it was for standard reasons, but we don't know the reason for a fact. But during the dinner, the sinful woman from this town interrupts the fellowship. She wasn't supposed to be there. She causes quite the scene, in fact. For most houses in that day, she wouldn't have even gotten through the door. In our society today, she might not even have been able to get on your property. She approaches Jesus. Now, in that day, they did not sit at a table like we do in our comfortable chairs with our feet under the table. They reclined on pillows on the floor. The food was placed before them on a low, stable surface. They propped themselves on one elbow while they ate with the other hand. So the feet of the people dining were stretched out behind them. This woman comes up behind Jesus by his feet. And there she begins to cry over his feet. Tears of regret, but ultimately tears of gratitude. What we witness in her tears is confession and absolution all wrapped into one. She has heard Jesus teach before. She has heard his proclamation of God's tremendous love and mercy. She has heard him tell parables like the loving father and the prodigal son. And she has taken to heart this message of God's ever fresh creation, how our human failures can be restored and be made new. These were exactly the words that she most needed to hear. Here was a woman disregarded by everyone in her community, and probably even by herself. Could it be that this message of forgiveness and this message of new life was meant for her too? Jesus' loving message had entered to the very center of her thirsting soul. The seed within her, long buried there, drank in the words of love and mercy. Her parched soul drank it in, and the seed in her soul sprouted with hope. A hope that she didn't even know was there anymore. It was the first time in a long time that she could remember when she was beloved and loved for a first time and a only time. There was a new day, a new hope, a fresh start even for her. This woman had come to Jesus that day, and there she finds forgiveness. And there she finds freedom for her past sins, but she also finds forgiveness and freedom for her future. What is forgiveness? That's a powerful question. And we might give some Sunday school answer when we are asked that question, but the truth is, until we experience forgiveness, we don't truly know what it is. Jesus' forgiveness is so powerful and so transforming. Forgiveness isn't something that we work out for ourselves. We do not atone for our errors and our sins. It is not a debt that we repay. We can't repay that debt. But forgiveness is simply a gift. It's a gift. It's there right in front of us that Jesus has offered to us, that all we have to do is embrace it. It's given to us free and undeserved because none of us deserve it, but it's still there. Forgiveness comes to us. It comes when we are unable to make a situation right by our own efforts. That is what makes it so liberating. That's what makes it so freeing. This infraction is a burden that we cannot shake on our own. We carry it with us wherever we go. It weighs us down. It tethers us to the error that we regret, and we can't do anything with it. But the gift of forgiveness frees us, and it frees our burdensome soul. And it frees us for a new day, a fresh beginning under the expansive canopy of God's redeeming and reconciling grace. The nameless woman in this touching story hears the words from Jesus' mouth that she most yearned to hear. Your sins are forgiven. And the weight was lifted. It didn't matter how anybody else looked at her anymore. The only thing that mattered is how her Savior saw her. That burden was gone. That's freedom. She came for forgiveness, and she left in freedom and peace. But Pharisee Simon did not share in that peace. In his own perceived rightness, he was unable to see the debt he himself owed. Jesus tells him the story of the two debtors. One debtor owed considerably more than the other. Simon was able to rightly determine that the man who was forgiven a greater debt would be filled with a greater amount of love. Any one of us could answer that question. Jesus ends the parable with a cutting statement of judgment. The one to whom little is forgiven loves little. The effect of knowing that you have been forgiven leaves the soul soaring with gratitude. Forgiveness bathes the soul with mercy and heals its wound, and all of it is a gift. It comes free and undeserved. Our forgiven heart reflects the mercy that we have received. We respond with the fruits of love and kindness. In a sense, gratitude is an expression of this very gift. In Hebrew, the word for gratitude is hodaah. It is the same as the word for confession. To offer thanks is to confess dependence, to acknowledge that others have the power to benefit you, to admit that your life is better because of their efforts, not because of your own. The nameless woman expressing this feeling, this gratitude to Jesus in her actions towards Jesus was her confession. But what did Simon's actions and attitudes reflect? He did not wash Jesus' feet. He did not kiss Jesus' feet. He did not anoint any part of Jesus' body. How did Simon respond to the parable story? We do not know. Scripture does not tell us. But may our reflection, as we hear this story today, may our reflection on Pharisee Simon and the nameless woman move us to seek out Jesus for our own forgiveness. May we seek him for forgiveness and freedom with the same vulnerability as the woman who entered that home who wasn't supposed to be there. In the season of Lent, we reflect on Jesus' passion. We know his destiny. We know where he's headed and why. He's bound for the cross for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus' ministry will culminate in his reconciling actions on the cross. It is there that he will fully breach the wide gap between God and ourselves. For it was a rift that we were unable to repair, but he was. In his love, he has reclaimed us and forgiven us. Not through our own actions, not through our own deserving, but through his free and undeserving love. In closing this morning, one other story. There's a book titled A Forgiving God in an Unforgiving World. And it retells the story of a priest in the Philippines, a much loved man of God, who carried the burden of a secret sin that he had committed many years before. He had repented of the sin to God, but still had no peace, no sense of God's forgiveness. In his parish was a woman who deeply loved God and who claimed to have visions in which she spoke with Christ and he with her. She went to the priest, and the priest was skeptical of her story. So to test her, he said this: "The next time you speak with Christ, I want you to ask him what sin your priest committed while he was in seminary." The woman agreed. A few days later, the priest talked to the woman again, and he said, "Well, did Christ visit you in your dreams again?" And the woman said, "Well, yes, yes, he did." "And did you ask him what sin I committed in seminary?" "Yes, yes, I did." And the priest asked, "Well, what did he say?" "God said, I don't remember." What God forgives, he forgets. Day after day, may we reflect on the undeserving mercy and forgiveness of Jesus. And just like this woman at Jesus' feet, may we dwell at his feet in peace. Let us pray. Father, we don't deserve it, but we can thank you for the forgiveness that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for a powerful testimony of a woman who overcame any type of pushback from society or anything else, even fighting her own thoughts that drove her to your feet. And in doing so, was forgiven and set free. May we experience that freedom and forgiveness this day as well. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing, our closing hymn, maybe today for the first time you recognize that that freedom only comes through the forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. Maybe you want to turn your life over to him just as that woman did in our story today. I'll be down front. I'll embrace you, talk to you about what it means to give your life over to Christ. Maybe that's where you are today. This morning. Maybe today you're looking for a church family, just seeking to honor God through our continued honoring of him, to find freedom in him. Maybe First Baptist Elon is that home for you. I'll talk to you about who we are and what we believe and why we're here. Or maybe just today, maybe you've been struggling. Maybe you've been struggling with this a sin in the past that you've given to God and just can't get past. The altar's always open. It's his altar. Come and pray. Or maybe there's something else that's going on. Whatever it is, this is the season to give it to him. Draw closer to him as we encounter him, as we move closer to the cross and the empty tomb. Let's stand and sing our closing this morning. As you leave today, go in knowing that you go in a freedom found in Jesus Christ. That forgiveness has been given. Embrace it. He is right there. And I hope you'll join us again next Sunday for Palm Sunday as we enter Holy Week. Go in peace.